so, you want another song, Pastor?
Your service.
All right.
All right. Well, Amy helped me decide that, so.
Yeah.
She gave me the recorder.
So. I do answer to a higher
power. Yeah, yeah. So, and so, you know, we've been in the book of Leviticus, and we're going to be in Leviticus chapter 3. We finished 1 and 2, and I was telling Pastor yesterday, I said, man, pray for me. I said, you know, we had that business meeting. I said, because it's been a while since I've been through Leviticus, and here I'm in chapter 3 on the peace offering, and everything, nothing's making sense to me. I'm looking at it now, and I'm like, oh, man, none of this is making sense to me. So I really had to sit down and go through, studying and learn some things over again and such. And so tonight there's going to be some things that are similar to what I have written down, but then it's a whole lot different. It's going to take me tonight and Sunday morning to get through 3. It's the peace offering, which it doesn't look like there's much to it, but let me just tell you, God is intricate, okay? God has things the way he wants things, and I'm telling you, when you get in and study, you realize, my goodness, you know, he means business. There are things to this, and so it's going to take me at least another couple days to get through. We're going to read tonight verses 1 through 5, and then I'll go on and expound on those. But then Sunday morning, Lord willing, I'll be able to get through verses 6 through 17. And the peace offering is another offering that's different. And so I'll start off like this. Oblation, we've heard that word before. It starts the very first time it's mentioned in your Bible is Leviticus 2, chapter 4. And it's in your Bible 30 times, okay? And it's only in the Old Testament. The word oblation is not in the New Testament, okay? It's only in there 30 times. The last time you'll find that word oblation is in the book of Daniel, okay? And so, and 30 in itself is an interesting number in the Bible. I won't get into that tonight, but it's very interesting. Jesus Christ was sold for 30 pieces of silver. Him and John the Baptist started their ministry around the age of 30 years old and such. So that number 30 is pretty interesting in the Bible in itself. But here we're going to, oblation is first used in Leviticus 2:4, 30 times in the Old Testament. Remember, oblation is a memorial or remembrance, an offering for what God has done, okay? It's not the same as somebody who would go in there and offer a burnt sacrifice or a sin offering or a trespass offering or even a meat offering, okay? This is totally different than those other offerings, but we're going to see some similarities here to the ones that are in the burnt offering as well as the sin offering, okay? We're going to see some similarities, and there's a reason for it, okay? I sat there and I scratched my head. I said, why is this, when this is a peace offering, Lord, why is it being done this way? And so the Lord kind of gave me some hints on why things are being done, and I thank God that when he does sit down and teach me those things. But here's what we're going to say. It's a remembrance. And so Leviticus says his oblation. Let's read the first five verses here in Leviticus chapter 3. And it says, and if his oblation be a sacrifice of a peace offering, if he offer it of the herd, whether it be a male or female, he shall offer it without blemish before the Lord. Verse 2. And he shall lay his hand upon the head of the offering, and he shall kill it at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And Aaron's sons and the priest shall sprinkle the blood upon the altar and round about. Verse 3, and he shall offer of the sacrifice of peace offering, an offering made by fire unto the Lord, and the fat that covereth the inwards, and the fat that is upon the inwards. Verse 4, and the two kidneys and the fat that is on them, which is by the flanks and the caul above the liver, with the kidneys, it shall he take away. In verse 5 here, it says, and Aaron's son shall burn it upon the altar, upon the altar upon the burnt sacrifice, which is upon the wood that is on the fire, and is an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord. And here you can see right off the bat that the wood is not in a special order here, okay? For whatever reason, God doesn't mention the wood being in the order as the burnt offering, okay? But there is a reason behind it. So here we see Leviticus 1 says his oblation. His oblation is because the man of the house, the head of the household, is coming to offer this. Okay? It can't be done by a wife. Can't be done by a son. If a son or a daughter is unmarried, and still living at home, they're underneath their father. Their dad has to come, okay? Amen. If a son moves out of the house and he's still unmarried, he has to travel back to his dad's house to get that done.
Amen.
Okay, because he's still underneath his dad's authority, okay? And God is very strict on it. Same with a lady. Let's say for whatever reason, which normally in the Old Testament, they did not leave until they were married. But let's say a lady went out there on her own. She's living in her own cave or living somewhere by herself in a hut, okay? She's out there by herself. And now all of a sudden, this peace offering has to be done. She's got to go back to dad to get that taken care of. She can go back underneath her dad, okay? But again, they don't usually leave the house unless they're married, okay? And you'll see that back when God says that a man should leave his mom and his dad, and he should cleave unto his wife, and there should be one flesh, okay? That's normally when they leave the house. But in that case where they didn't, then they're still subject unto their dad, okay? And so Luke and Autumn are going to be subject unto me until they're married, until they're moved out of the house. They'll be subject. So that means I would have had to go be the one to go to that, take that oblation, that offering that's going to be made to God, and I would have had to go and do that for our family, okay? Same with the burnt sacrifice. You'll see some similarities here. I want you to turn with me because here we're going to experience, remember, the meat offering is not an offering that's going to be for forgiveness of sins or breaking God's law. Well, the peace offering is not that either. Okay, a peace offering, again, like the meat offering, is a voluntary offering. It's something that you're doing because you're remembering what God had done for you. Okay, this is not something that you're looking for forgiveness for. It's not something you're going to God because you need something. No, this is strictly because you are telling God, thank you for what you've done. And I want to show you where you can see that. Because remember, for every one of these offerings, which is the first five chapters, you also have the laws of each offering. Okay, so I want to take a look at the law of the trespass offering, if you would, Leviticus chapter 7. And you're going to see here where they make a distinction that this is not something that you offer for forgiveness or offer for atonement or forgiveness of a sin of ignorance and so on and so forth. This is something that you're going to voluntarily do. If you turn with me to Leviticus chapter 7, and I'm going to start in verse 11. Now, this is what you call the law of the sacrifice of the peace offerings. And you can see that right off in chapter 7, verse 11. And it says, this is the law of the sacrifice of the peace offerings, which ye shall offer unto the Lord. And if he offer it a thanksgiving, then he shall offer it with the sacrifice of thanksgiving, unleavened cakes mingled with oil, and unleavened wafers anointed with oil, and cakes mingled with oil of fine flour. Besides the cakes, he shall offer his offering with leavened with the sacrifice of thanksgiving for a peace offering. And it shall he offer one out of the whole oblation for a heave offering unto the Lord. And it shall be the priest that sprinkle the blood in the peace offerings. Verse 15. And the flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offering for thanksgiving shall be eaten the same day that it is offered. And he shall not leave any of it until tomorrow. So we see here that this peace offering, the law of the peace offering, is something that you're voluntarily sacrificing to God. But here's what it tells you. Not only is it a peace offering, but it's a thank you offering. It's a thanksgiving offering. What is thanksgiving? You're thanking God for what he's done. Okay? It's not that you're coming to God and saying, you know, here's what I did, Lord. I broke one of your commandments. I broke one of your laws. So I need you to forgive me. That's not what this sacrifice is for. This oblation is not for that. Excuse me. It's not a sacrifice. The sacrifice is you're bringing something to God. You're going to have that slayed because you want forgiveness. You want atonement. Here is an oblation. That means it's a something that's a memorial. It's a thinking of what God has done. It's a thanking of him. And so here you see in Leviticus chapter 7, the law of the peace offering is a thanksgiving offering at the same time. Okay? There's no difference. So you're going to see in this offering here where it's real different because here's what you have. You have animal sacrifice in the peace offering, and you have meat sacrifice, which is the inward of the plants. You see the cakes and all that are there. That's also included in this. That's not included in any other one. Okay? So here we have different sacrifices. Right now, in Leviticus chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, we're talking about an animal that's going to be given. It's going to be killed for God. But then when you're offering it with thanksgiving, for remembering what God has done for you, now you're going to add bread, you're going to add wafers, you're going to add some that are unleavened and some that are leavened. For the first time, you're going to see leavened being used in bread. Okay? And there's a reason for it. And so this is what this thing, it's very, listen, God does things exactly the way he wants them. There's reasons why he does everything. And if you're confused or you don't understand why, then get in and study, because God will make it clear to you, okay? He'll make it clear the reason why he wants things done his way. And thank God he wants things done his way, because I can't do it. I mean, my past is proof that I can't run my own life, okay? I wish to God other people would see that their past, that means they can't run your own life. You need somebody to do it for you. And God is sure happy to step in and do that. And I thank God that he will do that. And so we see here, which is also, this peace offering is also known as a thanksgiving offering. And we see here in Leviticus 7, in addition to the unleavened cakes and wafers, the peace offering was to be made with leavened bread. Okay? And there's other places in the Bible you'll see it's strictly forbidden that God would use anything that's leaven. Matter of fact, the using of leaven is not in any other offering according to Leviticus 2, chapter 11. I'm just going to read that to you. Here's what it says in Leviticus 2, chapter 11. Excuse me, chapter 2, verse 11 says, "No meat offering which you shall bring unto the Lord shall be made with leaven. For you shall burn no leaven, nor any honey, nor an offering of the Lord made by fire." And so apparently this is only relevant in this offering because it will not be burnt. This is not going to be burned, okay? This is a sacrifice according to Leviticus chapter 7. That's something that's not going to be burnt. It's going to be taken, okay? Okay, look what it says here. It says, the leavened bread was part of the peace offering as a memorial, was not offered upon the altar, but presented as a heave offering. Okay? And so Leviticus 23:17 also describes the leavened bread as a wave offering. So you have a heave offering and a wave offering. This is done to God, and then after it's done with the leaven, it goes to the priest. Okay? Then they'll split that up. It will not be put on that altar to be burned. Okay? So here it says, the peace offering was accompanied by the priest holding it before God, unleavened bread in one hand and leavened bread in the other hand. It's a picture of the unleavened bread, which is a picture of Jesus Christ. And then you have the leavened bread, which is a picture of the sinner. Okay? And they're coming together, and it says, having peace because Jesus Christ. Okay, and so you see the unleavened bread, which would be a picture of Jesus Christ. Who is the unleavened bread? He doesn't have sin in his life. There is no sin with him. And then you have that which is leavened. And that leaven is always a picture of sin in your Bible. So you have them two here. And guess what? This is an offering of what? Peace. It's an offering of peace. It's an offering of thanksgiving for what God has done for you. And let me share with you here in the New Testament what it says here. It says, for it pleased the Father that all the fullness dwell in him, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. Colossians 1, 19 and 20. So we're seeing a picture of this priest who's holding up the leaven and the unleavened. And what is Jesus Christ doing? He's making peace with that leaven. He's making peace with that sinner. Okay? All things. He says he's reconciling these things to itself. And it's a foretelling of Jesus Christ and what he's going to do on that cross. Okay? Because of his blood. Okay? That's just what God does. That's what he does. If you read the book of Hebrew, it tells you that these things are a foreshadow of things to come. Your Old Testament's showing you things that are going to come. These things were promised back in the day. These things were promised to the children of Israel. The thing is they didn't want to see it. That's why Jesus Christ makes that statement when he says, if you were to believe Moses, you believe me. They don't believe Moses, obviously. They'll tell you they do until they're blue in the face, pass out, and get back up and still tell you they believe in Moses. But Jesus Christ makes it clear you don't. Because there's pictures of Jesus Christ through everything. The whole entire Old Testament, okay? And so here, these offerings also consisted both of burnt offerings and meat offerings, okay? But listen, it's far different than a burnt offering because now we're not looking at anything for a sin. Okay, we're not looking for forgiveness, and I'm going to get into that. In verse 1 of chapter 3, we see as well, the oblation could be either male or female of the herd, but without blemish. Okay, it's the first time that you're going to see male or female. Why is that? There's a lot of speculation out there, and there's a lot of nonsense out there. When I was out there researching it, These, you know, Bible teachers or Bible, whatever they want to call themselves, have no clue. First of all, they're not even using the proper language, okay? They say that they're King James Bible believers and such like that, but they use NIV doctrine all through everything. They change every word in it. It makes no sense when they try to explain things. Your best person, the best one that's ever going to explain it to you, is you sitting down with God and putting that time and effort into learning this thing, okay? That's really the only way you're going to learn it. And it's hard because you can find some good Jewish websites that are out there and such that can tell you things. But again, they change things just as bad as the NIVers and everybody else. So it can really be very confusing. But here we see that the oblation could be either male or female, but it has to be one without blemish. There's one. This is one of the differences between a burnt offering and a sin offering, because one is a male, one can be a male or a female. In the burnt offering, when you're when they're dying for sin, it couldn't be a male or female. It had to be a straight male. Okay, and you're gonna see later on in next week in chapter 4, where it's a sin offering, a sin of ignorance. The sin of ignorance is gonna have to be a male. Unless it's a common person, then it can be a female. Okay? And so there's differences here. And I'm going to explain a little bit of some of my research and what I've come up with on this whole thing is, in researching about the male and female offering, I found a verse that may clarify some of this. It may rock confusion if it does. I don't fully understand this myself, but here's something that just came up to my mind when I was thinking. If you would, turn with me to Genesis chapter 3, and I want to share with you a verse. And then I'm going to read what I have written down here, and it will kind of make some sense. It may not make sense to you, but it made sense to me at the time. Genesis chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. This is what it says here. And it says, and Adam called his wife Eve. Why? Because she was the mother of what? All living. Okay? And unto Adam also to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins, and he clothed them. That's Genesis 3, 20 and 21. So we see here that Eve's name was the mother of all living. Also note that when God did the first animal sacrifice to get the coats of skin, he clothed them both, not just Adam. Okay? He put clothes on both of them. Why? He included the male and female. Okay? But what is Eve's name? The mother of all living. Okay? Was she a female? She was a female. Why? She's a representative of the common people.
Amen.
She's a representative of the common people. Okay? Who's Adam? Adam. They say he's the first. Jesus Christ is the second Adam. Okay? Well, Eve is the mother of the common people. Eve would be the mother of all living. Okay? And so of having a female, listen, this female sacrifice, oblation, was not dying for a sin. This was a thanks, a remembrance, a memorial, a peace offering, thanking God for the peace that he made. This animal is not dying to bring atonement. This animal is not dying to forgive somebody for something they've done. This animal was dying as a thanksgiving. So using a female without blemish would be just as fine, okay? It didn't matter to God that it was a male or female. Now, when you start crossing that line when it comes to sin and all that, it has to be strictly a male. God never crosses the line and lets a female die for somebody that's in sin, okay? Never, you're going to see in Leviticus chapter 4, when a priest sins. When he sins that of himself, he's got to bring a male bullock, a young male bullock. That's what he's got to bring. But if it's a common person, if he sins that sin of a common person, he can use a female. The same priest. Okay? The same priest, though he sinned, a priestly sin, whatever his sin could be. Maybe he didn't do something right in the sacrifice. Maybe he didn't run it right. Maybe he didn't sprinkle the blood properly where it needed to be sprinkled, because, you know, God held that against them. God would have held that. If he didn't wear his priestly clothes right, if he didn't consecrate himself right, then God had something against him. And if God showed him that, because it's called the sin of ignorance. And if he does that, then he has to bring a bull, a young bullock. But it says now, it says that if he commits a sin of the common people, that he can use a female. Okay? So that would be fitting here, knowing that God is okay with the common people represented by a female. And let me just say this. If you really want to study your Bible, there's a lot of female spirits, wisdom and understanding. I mean, they're all over the place in that Bible. You go back and read on them, and it's very interesting stuff when you get into looking at the female spirits, the spirits, they call it she all the time and stuff. And that's a very interesting study in itself. And I have not gotten too much into that because there's a lot in there to try to study. But here we see that burnt offering could be a male. I believe it's just a representative. God using a female as the common people using that as a sacrifice for thanking God. Okay, Galatians 3:28 says, "There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus." Okay, Jesus Christ didn't die just for men; he died for the ladies as well. Okay, and so a representative of Jesus Christ. And so also remember this offering. The female sacrifices. The male sacrifices represented mankind as a whole for their sins, plural, okay, for many, and not singular sin, the sin nature, which would all only been done by a male sacrifice. So the female sacrifice or the female offering could not have died for our sin nature, but could die for our sins, S-I-N-S, those things we commit because of our sin nature. Okay, only a male sacrifice could die for the sin nature. And you'll see that more and more as we go on through this book, that there's a big difference in that. It's a huge difference on how God handles those things. And so for our sin nature, it would have took a male sacrifice. It's a picture of Jesus Christ. Okay, but a female could die for our sins, those things that we do because of our sin nature. Okay, and you'll see that the more we get into studying this. This stuff is, listen, it's not easy to teach. It looks real good to me on paper. It sounds wonderful to me. I don't sit home and rehearse it. I learn it. I put it out there, okay?
Amen.
That's just all there is to it, you know. But I know the Lord is showing me. He's teaching me things. And next year if I go through this, there might be something different I add. There might be something I take away. There's things that have already changed about the Achaia tree and the Shittim tree, okay? And I had some things confused in that, and I've been studying that for probably, a month and a half now? And I think I got some stuff straight, okay? Because the book, it's strictly, the Bible asks, in the King James Bible, strictly asks for Shittim tree, okay? That's how God makes the burnt offerings and so on and so forth. Well, I had somebody give me a question about the Achaia. And they said, no, the Achaia and the Shittim are the same thing. So the Shittim tree is part of the Achaia family, okay? So now, we're all human beings, right? The Chinese people are human beings. The German people over in Germany are human beings. But we are not all the same, okay? So same with the Achaia tree and the Shittim tree. Though the Shittim tree may be part of the Achaia family, it has a different everything about it, okay? So let's say that Sam's a good drywall hanger. Am I a good drywall hanger because I'm a human being?
No.
No, I'm not, okay? I can't do drywall. Why? Because there's different things that I was set out to do. So here's the Shittim tree. The Shittim tree still has the same consistency as the weight of water. Were there any other of the Achaias that are out there in the Achaia family, the tree, can't do that. A cherry tree and a pine tree, they're night and day, okay? You may be able to do some similar things with them, but they are not the same, okay? Cherry tree is a lot more expensive. You can use it in a lot more things. People use that in different places than they would pine. People pretty much put pine anywhere, okay? And so that Shittim that God asked for is very important. He asked for that by name. He doesn't ask for the Achaia. The Achaia means this. It could be, how many did we say there was 57? Different trees in the Achaia family or something like that is what we came up with. So which one is God asking for then? If that means Achaia, then which one is he asking for? Because it's a family of 57 trees. Well, he gives you that in the King James Bible when he says Shittim. Okay? He gives it to you clear as day. And so when you see that word Achaia, listen, yes, they have it right in one sense is, here's where they have it right. It's a family of trees. But that's about as far as they get it right. Because the Shittim tree is the tree that is needed to hold that that altar of sacrifice together. It can handle the heat. It won't catch fire like any of the other trees in that Achaia family. So that's where they mess it up at. And so the same with trying to use brass and bronze. Okay? So many years difference in between the finding of the both of them. Okay? Brass today could not hold up to the brass that was back in the Old Testament when they were instructed to build that altar. Why? Because it was pure. They were getting pure brass. Today, it's mixed with other minerals and other materials to stretch it out to make more money. It can't hold the heat like it did. So what do? Well, bronze can hold heat. We know bronze can hold heat better than brass today. But back then, it couldn't, okay? Back then, so now there's about 1,100-year difference between when they first found brass to the time they found bronze, okay? The Bronze Age and all that stuff comes along, okay? That's about 1,100 years in between when they started finding the difference of them. And you know what? Man, has corrupted everything in those, okay? So here they put bronze in there, and let me just tell you, bronze would have never held up because they didn't even know what bronze was back then when they were building that. God asked them to get that brass, okay? And that brass is what they built that altar out of, because that brass and the Shittah tree could hold that burnt, where that sacrifice, or excuse me, where that that altar of sacrifice is exactly where God wanted it. It could hold as much heat. Because let me ask you this: how long did that how long did that altar have to be burning sacrifices?
Yeah.
24 hours a day. Okay. 24 hours in a day. So anything else besides what God asked for wouldn't have held up. Let me ask you this. When they started building that tabernacle, did they know they were going to be in the wilderness for 40 years?
No.
But God did. And He knew what was going to hold up. He knew of the better of the equipment to ask. He knew what better equipment that they needed to be able to do that. Okay? That's just a little tidbit on that. And so, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, since this whole COVID-19's come around, I've just been studying this direction, that. I mean, everywhere you can, but you know, it's enjoyable. I sat down, I probably was sitting down for an hour and a half, 2 hours today, and next thing you know, I'm like, wow, man, that was pretty quick. And I was really heavily into it. My wife's talking to me. All I heard was, womp, 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 womp. You know, I'm not hearing nothing. You know, uh-oh. And she's asking me questions. And so I just tell her, you know, honey, I said, when I went to the ear doctor, they said, you know, the pitch that I'm getting deaf to is probably the same pitch as my wife. So I use that excuse now, honey. I can't hear you because of that. And so anyway, and so also remember the offering differs from the burnt offering, the sin offering, and the trespass offering, because it was not one where needed atonement for sins. It's an offering made by to God because of the peace that He made, and in turn is an offering for thanksgiving and peace, okay? And that's what He's done. And He's made that way for us to have peace even today in the New Testament. How? Jesus Christ. Okay? He gave Himself for that peace, and now we can have that peace, and now we can have that reconciliation, okay? Not just atonement, though. My sins weren't just atoned. They weren't just covered. My sins have been completely washed away. And that's where that peace that you see twice, that peace that passes all understanding is in your Bible. I think it's twice. It's an understanding that a lost person doesn't understand that type of peace, okay? Only a saved person can understand that type of peace, okay? But you know, when that Israelite walked away, when God first started rolling these sacrifices out, they had that peace. Okay, but you know what quickly happened? A few hundred years down the road, God says, you know what? Them sacrifices I don't want no more. They stink. It's not a sweet savor to me anymore. Why? Because the Israelites are like this. Hey, man, we can go and live any way we want. We'll just go do our sacrifice real quick. We'll be good. But you know what? They lost the peace living that way too.
Yeah.
Okay? They lost that fellowship with God. They lost the power with God. They're losing their battles. I mean, everything went south. But you know what? They were okay with that. Sounds like some of us in the room, right? We don't mind not having the peace of God. We don't mind not having that peace that passes all understanding. We're okay with trading in all that for what the world has to offer, okay? Well, you know what? My God, help us. That's what, okay? Look at verse 2. And it says, and he shall lay a hand upon the head of his offering and kill it at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And Aaron's son, the priest, shall sprinkle the blood upon the altar. And I want you to see here. Now, they had to lay their hand upon the sacrifice. And what sacrifice was that? They had to lay their hand on. Remember, I just taught that 2 weeks ago. No, last Sunday. The burnt offering. What was it? Why did they have to lay their hands on the head? The transfer of the sin, right? So that person understood. They were putting that sin in that animal. That animal was a sinless sacrifice. It was something standing in there for them. So is that what this is? No, you know what this is? God wanted them to see. God wanted them to recognize. that when they put their hand on there, it was a personal thanksgiving to God for what he's done in their life.
Amen.
A personal thing, a personal thing, a personal remembrance for what God was doing in that man's life and his family's life. That's how important it was to God that they recognized. That's why the New Testament goes through over and over again, tells you, be thankful. Be thankful in all things. We offer it up with thanksgiving. Over and over again in your Bible tells you to be thankful. Be thankful. Be thankful. Why? Because look what God has done in your life. You're breathing tonight. Don't you have a, you don't mean to tell me you don't have a reason to be thankful tonight because you're sitting in this room? Well, I'm lost and I can't get saved. But you know what? You're sitting in these church pews. You're not burning in hell tonight.
Amen.
You have a reason to be thankful. His mercy. Anyway, notice the similarities in laying the hands on the head of this offering. It's not the transfer of sin, but it's a personal thanksgiving for what God has done. And we see this in the New Testament. It says, be careful for nothing, but in some things, by prayer and supplication. No. That's right, all things. And everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Why is he telling us to go and beg God? Why is he telling us to pray with thanksgiving? Because he wants you to thank him first before you start praying to him. Thank him for what? For what he's done in your life. For the food he's giving you. For the job he's giving you. For the husband or wife that he's giving you. For the church that he's giving you. You mean to tell me you can't, before you pray to God, thank him for the things he's given you? That's what it just said. Look at it says here. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. When you're praying, when you're begging God for something, you ought to be thanking him. That's what it said.
Amen.
You ought to be thanking him for what he's done, thanking him for the opportunity that he's given you, thanking him for everything that you have. You're not standing in front of a casket tonight burying somebody.
Amen.
There ain't nobody in here starving. Especially me. It says, let your request be made known. When? When does your request be made known? After you give thanksgiving. Okay? After you give thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And here it is. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your mind through Jesus Christ. Okay? This is an oblation that you're offering to God. You're offering him your thanksgiving for what he's giving you. You're offering him, hey, how about thanking him for the brain he gave you? How about thanking for the opportunities? I know things get repetitive. It gets hard. It gets boring and all these other things. But thank God that we live where we're at in the time that we're living, because God knew exactly who would be here tonight. God knew exactly who was going to be here on March 7th. April 8th, 2020. God knew exactly who was going to be in this room tonight, and he allowed you to be here. When's the last time anybody, and me and my wife used to get into this, when we were lost, we thanked God every time he got us to church safely, and we thanked him every time we got home safely, because we were afraid we were going to drop off into hell, either here or on the way back. Absolutely.
Psalms 100, verse 4. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, blessed be the Lord.
Psalm 104?
100, verse 4.
Yeah, amen. I'm going to read that out loud too. Anybody hear that?
Mm-hmm.
We'll make sure we hear it. I want to get that out because that's a real good one. Psalm 100, verse 4. And it says this. Remember, this is an offering of thanksgiving. So we know just by the offering of thanksgiving that this is something that goes up to God. It's not something, here, I'm giving this to you because you owe me something, God. No, we owe this to him. This is what an oblation is. Oblation is different than the sacrifices. We're giving something to him, because in the sacrifices and everything else, he's always given to us. He's asking for two things. He says, give me that meat offering. Okay, that's his. And then give me that peace offering. Why? Because I've done this for you. I'm the one who's done this for you. I'm the one who's given you life. I'm the one who's given you breath. Psalm 100, verse 4. And I'm still not there. I just keep talking. Look at what it says here. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and in his courts with praise, and be thankful unto him, and bless his name. Okay? And you know what? That's a perfect verse, because you know what? Where is this sacrifice taking place? In the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. The same place that the burnt offering is taking place. But it's not an offering made for sin. But you know what? It's just as important to God. That's why the hand goes on the head. That's why it's done in that doorway of the tabernacle of the congregation. Because God is looking down to see the attitude of the people.
Amen.
When they bring that, whether it be male or female. You see, because here's what happens when God asks for something, we always look for a shortcut. Yep. You see here, it says male or female without blemish. It still couldn't have one thing wrong with it. It still had to be perfect in God's eyes, and it was still going to be done the way he wanted it done. Where that man, the head of the house, was going to bring that to the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and he was going to put his hand on that thing's head. Why? Because God wanted to see that person's heart. This person, you know, you can put your hand down many different ways on something. Bang it. You've heard people bang it down. You've heard them set it down softly. How about if somebody's doing this? I mean, listen, let's be honest. When's the last time you thanked God for something, but you had to hurry up and thank him because something was going to take place?
Well.
You see? But that's the attitude. And God's looking at the attitude. Here we are. What are they going to bring for this? What are they going to bring for this offer? What are they going to bring for this oblation to me? What's their heart attitude like when they bring this? And they're standing there in the door of that tabernacle of congregation, and they're going to lay their hands on there, and you know what? Singing psalms and hymns in your song. How about singing those things in your heart? Singing melodies unto the Lord. I mean, you think about some of the people back then who've had a real hard time in life, but, you know, God has always blessed them, and even through the hard times. You think they went there grumbling and complaining and moaning? I mean, they probably brought the best of the best, no matter if it was male or female. They brought it to God and said, you know what, man, thank you so much for what you've done for me, Lord. Thank you so much. But, you know, people have lost that attitude today about being thankful to the Lord. That's why they can't have peace. Remember, this is a peace offering and a thanksgiving offering. Okay? A peace offering and a thanksgiving. As in the burnt offerings, this was also done at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation because it's where God's priests would take over after the laying of the hands. Why? This was for the man who brought the oblation, not the priest. This was for that family, that representation of the Morris. Here I am. I'm going to bring that animal up there. And you know what? He could have just took that thing, brought it to where he was going to kill it. And you know, no. God said, no, you're going to pause right there. You're going to put your hand on that, and you're going to be in the tabernacle, the doorway of the tabernacle of the congregation. And when you're done doing that, then the priest will take care of business. Because that priest was sanctified to do that.
Yep.
He was set apart to do that. That was his very thing. But it had to be after. The head of the household took care of business, whether it be for sin, whether it be for a meat offering, or whether it be for a peace offering. After that man had taken and brought his family before God in the tabernacle congregation, then only then could that priest step in and do what needed to be done. Okay? And look what it says here. What he was sanctified to do. We have a priesthood as well. Okay? Look at 1 Peter. If you're a saved person here, you have a priesthood. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. It says this in verse 5. I want to read a couple of verses here real quick. Being a priesthood, right? God, he's made us a priesthood. He says this in 1 Peter 2, 5. It says, you're also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up what? Spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Okay? And then look at it. It says in verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness and into a marvelous light. Show forth what? Praises. Our priesthood, part of our priesthood is to bring to God spiritual sacrifices of praise and thanksgiving. That's what it just said.
Amen.
It's what they were doing in the Old Testament. When they brought that animal there, they were telling God, thank you for what you've done. Thank you for this life. Thank you for what you brought into my life. Thank you for what you've taken out of my life. Thank you for the food or whatever it is. He says, as a priesthood in the New Testament, you're to offer spiritual sacrifices and praise. It's part of our priesthood. It's part of what we should be doing. I'm not going to get in too much into the next year, but I, you know, our priesthood differs from the Old Testament And I'm going to read Hebrews 10:10, and I'm going to close this. Our priesthood is different than the Old Testament. And let me just show you something here. Hebrews is a wonderful book. You want to cross-reference things. Hebrews 10:10 says this, talking about our priesthood. It says, by which we are all sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Okay? So that means no longer do we have to be like those priests. Here, and look at verse 11, who have, and it says, every priest standeth daily, ministering and offering oft times the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. Okay? We don't have that type of priesthood where all the time we have to come in and stand there in front of the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and we have to ask God, here, would you accept this sacrifice? This person's going to lay their hands on there. They're going to either kill it or slay it. And that priest is going to take it in there, dress it up, put it on the altar. We don't have to do that. Jesus Christ did that for us. We have a different priesthood. Our priest is to go out there and live for what Jesus Christ how wants us to. Hey, what is part of that priesthood? Having the peace that passes all understanding with thanksgiving and praise. That's part of our priesthood.
Amen.
We don't have that same priesthood, thank God, that they had back in the Old Testament. I might stop here. Well, let me read this. Verses 3 through 5 says this. And he shall offer a sacrifice of peace offerings. And that back in Leviticus chapter 2, verse 3 through 5, and it says this, and he shall offer,
three.
And he shall offer the sacrifice of the peace offering, an offering made by fire unto the Lord, that the fat that covereth the inwards, and the fat that is upon the inwards, and the two kidneys, and the fat that is on them, which is by the flanks, and the caul above the liver, with the kidneys, it shall be taken away. And Aaron's son shall burn it upon the altar, upon the burnt sacrifice, which is upon the wood that is on the fire. It is an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord. Okay? And I want you to see, the fat and the inwards were burnt on the altar. It was a sweet-smelling savor unto the Lord. This offering was to God being recognized where the peace of God came from. Okay, he was being recognized for what he has just done, for that peace that he's given the people. This is like a prayer of thanksgiving from us. Remember, on this same altar, the covenant God made with his people with the covenant of salt. Okay, and so now I'm going to stop there for till next week, because Sunday I'll hopefully be able to finish this. But that fat. Okay, that fat was the best part of the animal. Back then, fat could be anything. It could be a fire, to start help keep fires burning and so on. But it was the best part of the sacrifice was the fat. And that was belonged to God, okay? And you're going to see what they do with this fat here. This fat is handled differently than all other sacrifices, okay? Because why? This is not a sacrifice for sin. This is not a sacrifice for anybody breaking God's law. This is a sacrifice of peace and thanksgiving. So it is all handled differently, okay? And we'll see some similarities, and then we'll get into that Sunday morning, Lord willing, at 10 o'clock. Let's pray. Father, I do thank you for tonight. I do thank you for your goodness and your mercy to us, Lord. I pray that you'd help us to recognize and see these things. And I just ask that you give us grace and mercy as we continue to move forward, Lord. Thank you for what you have done. I do pray for America and our president, Lord. I pray for the decisions that have to be made by the governors. I pray that you keep everybody safe, Lord, and healthy. And we'll thank you for it all. In Jesus' holy and precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Shut this off for us.